meringue.
Dusty Bun?
Dusty Hera.
I've been really busy. I'm trying to save the world from Russians and monsters.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader.
Of course you have.
1080.
I want to hear it.
The Fan.
Reach the stars. Fly a fantasy.
Three here on a Monday afternoon on Danny and Dusty, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on youtube.com/1080andthefan or twitch.tv/1080andthefan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for joining us on this wonderful Monday afternoon. A lot of football to get into, starting with the NFL here in hour number three.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Chiefs and 49ers. It's a big billing game, but boy, did that game suck.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It was bad on every level.
Yeah, Super Bowl rematch.
Oh, boy.
Quarterbacks, high-level play. Whoa.
You had Tom Brady in the booth trying not to say Brock Purdy sucks.
Ooh,
eight different ways.
How about this one? We were wondering how you would get Tom Brady to broadcast a game without being able to go into the facility, talk to coaches, talk to players, mm-hmm. do anything.
Just call the quarterback average.
How many times?
How does he do this?
How many times did he mention next-gen stats?
According to next-gen stats, if you look at next-gen stats.
That's how he has to prep.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure
he's got to be the analytics guy.
Absolutely kills Tom Brady in his soul to be that guy.
To have to be the analytics guy.
Oh, yeah.
It's not feel. It's not the eye test.
Yep.
It's going off nerd numbers. But the nerd numbers are probably crushing both quarterbacks, both Mahomes and Purdy. Now, Mahomes did have the two plays of the game, one of which we have to break down, which was the long scramble play, of which he appeared to be going out of bounds, did a little dance on the sideline. And was it Warner that squared him up?
I
think it was.
I thought it may have been 54. I thought it was 57, something like that.
I could be wrong.
I don't know. It was a linebacker.
It was a linebacker
who was bearing down on him.
He was going to knock the crap out of him.
Yeah.
But he saw Mahomes on the sideline. He's like, you've got that chip installed in your brain, that Elon chip that tells you don't hit him there.
Yep. If I hit the quarterback, I know exactly what's
going to
happen. It's going to be a 15-yard penalty, and I'm screwed.
And Mahomes used it to his advantage and continued to scoot Boogie down the sideline. It was the fastest slow run I've ever seen in my entire life.
Now, this is the thing. Every single defender will point to this, and they will go to the league and say, this is why we have to be able to hit him. This is Kenny Pickett fake slide all over
this
again.
This is like, look, then this is the same way you, oh God, who was it? There's somebody else this weekend that fought for the, no, it was Mahomes last week. It was Mahomes last week fighting for the sticks and getting mad that he got hit going out of bounds.
Exactly.
And it's like, no. You don't get to have it both ways, dude. You either give yourself up or you fight for the sticks. And if you fight for the sticks, you're going to get hit.
Yes.
You don't get to be that protected. Sorry.
And if you're going to run, hits are going
to
happen.
Honestly, I'm to the point where if the quarterback leaves the pocket, there are no other rules.
Yeah.
They are treated, the whole sliding thing, I'm now to the point where if you don't give yourself up with like legitimate space for a defender to stop down, that it shouldn't matter. Because the whole point is you're giving yourself up. Not you're giving yourself up at the last possible second to advantage you and disadvantage the defender. You should have to give yourself up with space.
Yeah. And
otherwise, get smoked.
Patrick Mahomes didn't play a great game.
Oh, God. He was awful.
No touchdowns. Two picks. Now, one of them was tipped. I think the other one, the
receiver Xavier Worthy
slipped.
Fell down, but also like a strong wind is going to... He's got to get in the weight room. My God.
He damn near complete. I think it was like 60% of his passes.
He's 16 of 27.
So he wasn't efficient, but here's what makes the Chiefs so damn dangerous. They ran the ball down San Francisco's throat.
Mm-hmm. And San Francisco could not run the ball until Jordan Mason broke a, 25-yarder. Was it late in the third or early in the fourth?
But they just kept doing it. 23 design runs between the tackles.
It's a lot.
This is, and that game was ugly from the get-go. I mean, it was ugly from the jump because we already know injuries have been affecting the San Francisco 49ers. Juwan Jennings was out with the hip injury. Christian McCaffrey continues to be out. But then on top of that, they lose Deebo Samuel to illness. And then, look, Brandon Ayuk, it was feared to. It seems like it's been confirmed. Tore his ACL. He's done for the year. this is like the cursed year of the San Francisco 49ers, where they run it back, and this is how hard it is mm-hmm. to make it to a Super Bowl, to win a Super Bowl. Football is a war of attrition. Right now, the 49ers are losing that war by the fistful.
Yes.
And here come the Kansas City Chiefs, who just keep on keeping on, just chugging right down the road. Without Mahomes being invincible, without Mahomes playing his best football, they're winning games and winning them convincingly like they did yesterday. That this is a dynasty team. You can't afford to play as sloppy as San Francisco did against the Chiefs, even though the Chiefs were game to play just as sloppy as of a game. They have, within the Kansas City Chiefs organization, their culture is that we will win this game. There's no doubt we're going to win it. And that's exactly what happened yesterday in Levi's Stadium, is that it was just a team that was playing ugly, still found a way to win.
And if you want to take some shots at the Chiefs, which is always fair, Vancouver 4 text line points out something poignant in that have the Chiefs played a healthy team yet?
Yeah.
The answer is no.
Who cares, though? Because they are.
Yeah, and you just...
And they've been... Actually, they've been hit by the
injury. They've been dinged up, yeah. Quick, name a Chiefs wide receiver.
Yeah. Future Marquez Valdez-Scantling. You know?
It's tough out there. But no, the 49ers are lucky that they're in the NFC West because they have a chance to still somehow come out of that division if they get healthy down the stretch, because that division sucks.
This is an upside down division right now where, look, the Seahawks did not play well.
No, and they dog walked the Falcons.
Yeah, and there you go. They get back on it. They played doo-doo ball for 3 weeks in a row. Then they absolutely go out and smack the Atlanta Falcons and Kirkers.
Didn't make any sense.
Ah, well, in the NFL, it never makes sense.
No.
And right now, they're at the top of the division. And Arizona tonight, think of how just crazy the NFC West has been to date. You have, right now, 4-3 Seattle atop the division. You could feasibly have the Cardinals within a game, the Niners within a game, mm-hmm. and the Rams are sitting there just...
Speaking of injured, good God.
They cannot catch a break at any turn. They beat the Raiders and are like, hey, we're sniffing around here too. Your Raiders are in it bad.
Yeah, but they're not tanking, though. So D'Antonio Pierce said.
Yeah. Well, you can't tank in the... He's right. You can't, like, tank in the NFL. It's just like, we're just not good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just like the Blazers aren't tanking, right?
No, they are. They've said
yeah, no, they can do that.
You just don't have the players out on the floor or the field.
Football is just too physical of a game to say, you know, hey, we're in this tight game. Let's lose this.
Right, but
like you can't.
You're still trotting out AOC and Gardner Minshew.
Yeah. So, I will
shut your mouth when you talk about Gardner Minshew.
I will say, great vibes. The one redemptive quality about the Raiders right now is Brock Bowers.
Yeah, he's pretty good, huh?
Absolute unit.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's a
big-ass boy.
Rest of the team, it's tough sledding out there.
Yeah.
Also, did you catch Max Crosby post-game?
No, I didn't. I don't dive into Raiders post-game coverage too much. He's out?
Yeah, I think.
Why is that?
Looking at real estate in Detroit?
I think that there might be something to brew in there.
Oh.
I mean... I can't fault him. This is very much Khalil Mack 2.0 in the sense of you have a likely Hall of Famer in the prime of their career.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going to Chicago, maybe not the wisest choice of his, but
The
Raiders weren't going to pay
him. If you
that.
Send Max Crosby to Chicago now.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'd love to just see an NFC North bidding war.
For Max Crosby?
Yeah. Send him home to Detroit.
I mean, I'm okay with either.
And on a hometown discount.
Yeah. Well, not
yeah.
Not
there's that where part. You're like no.
If you're talking about paying him less, sure, but not what he gets. Couple other games that stood out. Your Patriots got slaughtered, but Drake May looked redemptive again.
Look, Drake May
looked good.
He's get his gold jacket size. Mm. We're just gonna put him in Canton right now.
He didn't turn the ball over.
No, Jalen Polk sure made him try to though.
Yeah.
That was a tough day for Jalen Polk. I feel bad for him.
It happens.
He's a rookie. They're in London. The ball spins the other way when you're in London, I heard.
Outside of the world.
Okay, still in the Northern Hemisphere.
And not a toilet?
Yeah, and not a toilet.
Okay. Okay, so maybe it does spin the same way off Drake May's hand?
Yeah.
All right, well, I was trying to help the young buck out.
Yeah, but they still eat beans and toast for breakfast.
There we go. The offensive line, still bad for the New England Patriots. And that Jags team, they needed that in a bad way. And the Patriots needed that loss in a bad way.
Yeah,
because these are the tiebreakers for the number one overall pick that the Patriots have got to be losing. Because what New England is vying for right now, now that you're seeing these flashes, Drake May does look good. He looks confident. He's tall, big frame, gets the ball out relatively quickly.
Let's get this out of the now.
He's athletic.
Let's get this out of the now.
Yeah, I have a crush on him.
Well, not just that. Well, I knew that.
Okay.
Patriots have the number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Are you taking the number one tackle in the draft, or are you taking Travis Hunter?
No, you're trading... You're trading back,
okay,
and you're getting as many picks as you possibly can, okay, because the number one tackle in the draft does not help this offensive line get better as a whole.
Mm.
They're bad up front.
You need both of them.
They need a lot of. They need draft capital right now. We are wheeling, dealing.
How far back are we trading?
I don't know. I'll have a better idea of this once we see kind of how draft boards settle. You're still probably in the top five.
Okay.
You're sniffing that desperation.
Five as far back as you go, right?
Probably, just to make sure you can get number one tackle, get that number one tackle value. You don't need a quarterback.
The Joe Alt of the world.
You don't need Travis Hunter. Like, no.
Okay.
I mean, Travis Hunter's really good, and he's going to be a great player.
He's probably going to go one or two in the draft.
Yeah. I mean, and he should.
Yeah.
But they don't need Travis Hunter right now.
Do we really think he's going to go that high in the draft?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, he's the number one in the draft.
I'm looking at that and going, you already have a CB1. Christian Gonzalez is really good.
It's unfortunate that he's in New England because he just, you don't get the coverage.
This is where, well, right now, because they're god awful.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
If they can improve their offensive and a little bit of a defensive line. Their offensive line is really where they need to just focus all of their attention. Draft all the offensive linemen. Get them as many picks as you can. So that's where the New England Patriots are at.
All right, next, do you want to talk about the best game of the weekend?
Yeah.
Detroit Lions and the Minnesota Vikings had a hell of a game.
Yeah.
And it's not for all of the marbles, but it definitely sets up some of the races that we're going to have divisionally throughout the NFL. We'll get to that in more coming up here on Danny and Dusty, Tending the Fan. Dare I say it was the game of the year so far as the Detroit Lions, last second kick, beat the Minnesota Vikings 31-29 in a nice little heated division rivalry game that, God, years in the past would be a game that you would hope was relegated off your TV. Just not two franchises that have been in great places in the past 15, 20 years. Vikings have been there here.
Yeah,
there.
Vikings
they pop
you know,
up back
Vikings
and down.
The Vikings are wildly consistent.
Yes. Just not always consistently good.
Nobody is thinking them, though, on a year-in, year-out basis as,
contenders.
Super Bowl contenders, but they've just been good.
Sam Darnold and Jared Goff, two second-chance quarterbacks, combined for 8 total incompletions.
Hell yeah. Do you see this about Jared Goff?
Hmm.
In the last, 3 games, they've scored 18 touchdowns. He's only had 15 incompletions.
He's been nails.
He is, yes. He is Jared Goff, who was one of the top quarterback prospects in the country, headed to Cal, and was the number one overall pick, and lived up to the hype. I love Jared Goff, and I love the fact that he doesn't really understand where the sun rises and sets, yet can drop dimes.
It works out really well in Detroit because the sun never really comes out.
Oh, that's rude. Rough.
Tell me it's wrong.
Fair.
It's always dark. Both teams, both quarterbacks were wildly consistent and accurate throughout the day. You only had the one interception from Sam Darnold. Teams were both on time, but both teams ran all over each other.
I would run the damn ball, too, if I was any defensive coordinator going up against the Minnesota Vikings.
Yes.
And the reason for that is because they are very aggressive in their pre-snap motions, changes, shifts, and then they bring pressure everywhere and are dropping linebackers, safeties, corners into coverage locations. Makes it really hard on a quarterback. And then when you bring that pressure, well, what that does, though, is it gives teams misaligned again in the run game and against the run. Oh, by the way, if you have two tackles that are dominant, I would especially recommend run the damn bow. And that's exactly what the Lions are doing. Mm-hmm. And that's what they did behind Penei Sewell and Taylor Decker, dude. They've got anchors on both sides of that mm-hmm. offensive line. That's what makes Ben Johnson so terrifying, is that he can do whatever the hell he wants mm-hmm. because he has two tackles that are big and athletic and are dominant. And then when you have Frank Ragnow as your center, you are pick your poison. What mm-hmm. do you want to take away? And when you have Jared Goff playing as efficient as he is,
knowing what he needs to do,
don't need to throw the ball a lot. Mm-hmm. You got guys that'll get open. Just run the damn rock. And that was fun to see.
And I found out interesting is that the Lions, I think they're one of the best teams in the NFL at doing this. They have a two-back stable in Gibbs and Montgomery. Mm-hmm. There are some games where they lean on Montgomery. And then Gibbs is not as featured.
Feed your hot hand.
Gibbs was rolling, ripping off long run after long run, and they kept him going. He finishes with a 116 on 15 carries.
Yeah.
Now, he did get 50 of that on one.
It doesn't matter.
But even if you take that out, that's 14 carries and 60, 70 yards. That's really good.
This, I mean, Ben Johnson, I loved what Ben Johnson had to say. You know, he was asked about, I think it was earlier in the week, was asked about, are you concerned about unloading your trick plays too much and showing too much early?
No.
He's like, the well is deep.
Yeah.
Yes.
The man's throwing hook and ladders to linemen. I think what was the hell the name of Henry Winkler's coach in Waterboy?
Waterboy. I don't know. I don't know what his
God,
name was.
I totally blanked on it.
Arthur Fonzarelli.
Coach Klein.
Coach Klein. There you go.
Coach Klein.
Hey. He's got a Coach Klein level playbook, I would imagine.
It's pretty.
Not the playbook for dummies.
I don't think we give enough credit to how hard that play is.
The
because
timing?
Yeah. You have to, one, have a receiver that, the fear of God has to be in the corner
and
that he's going to get beat deep. And so you have to push vertically. He has to catch the hitch. And then you have to have a tackle fast enough
to get out
to
there.
Not be downfield mm-hmm. at the time that ball is caught, but fast enough to get out there to get a toss from the wide receiver. That's a hard thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's a really hard thing to
do. I still don't think it should have been flagged. I don't think he was downfield.
Nah. But that's the thing is that officials go, there's no way he could make it without being downfield. Mm-hmm. It's like, He can. He can do it.
That's the whole point, is that man's a freak.
He did it. Yeah.
He's of the Haloti Ngata level of movement.
Well, 3A high school football, we had that in the Banks Braves because we had a 100-meter runner as our left tackle.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, and we ran it a lot.
That's disgusting.
Hook and ladder, and then they started calling it because they're like, there's no way he can get there. We're like, yeah, he can, and he did it.
How much did he weigh?
He was about 215.
Ooh, so he's...
Yeah, he can move. Yeah. 200 maybe. Something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. He was a wrestler and a 100-meter runner. So he used leverage and had speed.
Good
baby.
Lord.
We moved him from running back to left tackle. Natural move.
You know, as one does.
Yeah. Can't really do that at many other levels.
Yeah, no. But yeah, you saw it went away for the Lions. And I think even though the Vikings lost, I was talking with the Vikings fan this week, and I was like, you know, it's a tough loss for you, but I feel like that validated you guys.
No, having a loss like that is like it gets the pressure off of you, too.
Yeah,
like it wasn't like there were any inherent warts that
no,
you're like.
It came down to the last play.
Yeah. And Sam Darnold, he came back down to earth, but it wasn't a plummet. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, yeah, you threw a pick. Those happen. You get touched up. You get sacked a little bit. Those happen.
Both teams did. Both teams got the quarterback. They both had four sacks.
Yeah. I mean, that was just a damn good football game, and you went toe-to-toe.
Lions found a way to get pressure even without Aiden.
I love the NFC North.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
The NFC North is going to be fun.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's the best division in football. Crazy.
Okay. You can do the who wins it, who finishes last in that division, and you could have a legit conversation about any direction.
The Bears could finish last in this division with 9 wins.
Yeah.
Legitimately.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Right now, 4-2 is dead last in that division.
Like, the Bears could legitimately go, 5-6 down the stretch, nearly 500.
The Minnesota Vikings are one loss away from being in last place. They were the last unbeaten team in the NFL.
Good division. So, speaking of divisions, a bad division. NFC least.
Oh, boy.
Giants fans booed Saquon Barkley, which, why?
No, well, because... That's what they do. You can't go to the rival be like, hey, well, bygones be bygones.
Yeah,
no.
Boo the Giants. Don't boo Barkley.
No. You boo the Giants. It's a mutual booing. You boo the Giants for allowing Saquon Barkley the ability to go to a team like, I don't know, the Eagles or the Cowboys. I think those two teams, any other team, they would have been like, yeah, we get it, man. Best of luck to you. The fact that Saquon Barkley did what he did yesterday, too. He had
10 yards of carry.
Conveniently enough, 10 yards of carry?
It's playing over each of our shoulders right now. He dog walked that Giants defense.
He rushed for 176 yards.
Mm-hmm.
80 of those?
After contact.
No, before contact.
Oh, God.
Before he got touched, 80 yards.
Holes opened up.
Yeah. Which is like unheard of in the NFL, right? Like, it's what can you do after contact? Now, he still had, 96 yards after contact.
Yeah, I was going to say, because he was dragging bodies every single time somebody tried to put hands on him.
Early in the game, he wasn't getting touched. It was just like, phew, it was clean sailing, and then he would start dragging people down the field. He was incredible yesterday. I think that if you are the Giants, you can boo Saquon Barkley for going to your rival. You're supposed to hate your rivals just as much as fans do, right? That's how fans believe it. Spoiler alert, players don't feel that way.
Mm.
They really don't care.
No.
But you can also boo your front office for allowing that situation to unfold the way that it did.
And by the way, Daniel Jones was god-awful.
And he was benched. And that is even that's insult to injury. Not only is Saquon running wild on you, but the guy that you chose over Saquon got benched in that game.
And they've come out already in their press conference and said that Daniel Jones is their quarterback going forward, which he shouldn't be. A little side note.
Mm-hmm.
Jalen Hurts did not look good in that game.
No.
Now, you didn't have to because Saquon was running all over them and A.J. Brown was A.J. Brown, but there's something wrong with Jalen Hurts.
Well, he's not an MVP. He's got Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni, his head coach, he doesn't like. His offensive coordinator is in a really tough position of being the buffer in between.
Mm-hmm.
This style of the Eagles offense and where they are most successful, it does not look like it is one that is comfortable for your play caller, because historically, he has not been as comfortable stylistically playing this way. But look, Jalen Hurts is not an MVP, but he's a quarterback that can win you a lot of games, and he's a guy that can get you to a Super Bowl. He did not look good, right? They went 28-3. 28-3.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not pretty, but it's...
When a 10-point win is a blowout in the NFL, you won 28-3. You just absolutely smacked the Giants. And you're right, he doesn't look comfortable, but I don't think you need him to win that division or to be successful. What you need to do, though, is you got to make sure that at some point this season, it does start to click. And look,
they have to figure something
out. They're six games into the season, and he doesn't look perfect, but neither does Patrick Mahomes. Hell, like yesterday, Brock Purdy didn't look good either.
Brock Purdy looked awful.
Some of the best quarterbacks in the league have had these in the roads, but like you're hitting potholes at 80, and you're getting some wobbles and some flats on the
ground effects are getting ripped off.
It's brutal right now.
Yeah, Tom Brady calling Brock Purdy average happened about 7 times yesterday,
and it did look very average.
And it was tough, and it felt like he was using average as a slur.
Yeah.
It was
true that.
Definitely very pointed.
Yep.
All right, coming next, we'll revisit some college football, particularly the Oregon Ducks, number one for the first time since what?
2012.
There you go. We'll get to that more, but first, here's the Big Kahuna with Sports on Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
The Oregon Ducks handle business 35-0 over Purdue because they don't really have an offense.
Hey-o! Yeah.
We mentioned this on Friday as I was doing prep for the one-hour show that I had.
Yeah.
While you were on the field probably getting ready for the game. The line about their head coach not knowing the verbiage of their offense, I read it, and then I double read it, and then I triple read it. I'm like, there's no way. I went to like 4 other sources to verify this story. And I was like, how on earth does a head coach, I don't care if you're the defensive side of the ball coach, how are you not aware of the verbiage of your offense? How does that happen, Dusty?
Well... Okay, he was saying the verbiage and the rules for the offense. And the rules, I can see when you're a defensive head coach, and that's where his background is.
Yes.
Ryan Walters, defensive coach. Now, you bring in an offensive coordinator to have their imprint, and the rules are always different.
Sure.
And those are hard when you are a play caller. Your rules are situationally, what are these rules, box counts, how many guys are in the box and 5 yards within the line of scrimmage and inside your tackles. Like, you need to know steadfast exactly what our guys are doing, because situationally, if you're in a third and four and you're like, hey, we want to hit outside zone, well, you better tag it the right way, right? And so that is probably what he was talking about there. You could tell he didn't feel comfortable with the rules in the passing game because they didn't throw
the ball. They just ran the ball.
And they put it a lot on Ryan Brown. And there was a lot of, you know, you would have the motion man where there's a slot getting the fly sweep, and then you'd have a long ride in the zone. And the quarterback was really good putting ball in and making it hard on Oregon because he was really athletic. He's a tough runner, too. I was surprised with Ryan Brown running the football. You could tell that it was a play caller who was very uncomfortable with his role against a very good team. Again, this is a team that only scored 3 points in the first half against Illinois, and then 46 in the second half in overtime against Illinois. So when something works, it was a really good game for him to take over in that regard. Probably why you're seeing such a big line against Illinois this year, in that odds makers are going, well, if you have a first-time play caller and a redshirt freshman quarterback putting up 49 against Illinois, what is Will Stein and Dylan Gabriel going to do? Probably put up some points on you. That's still a really big line because I think we know what Illinois is going to try and do against Oregon, which is run the football, play keep away, keep the offense off the field. And then they are really good up front. Defensive line's really good. They got a day one in linebacker. What's his name? Jakus. Really, they're solid up front.
Are you surprised that this line is only 4 points different from Purdue?
Yeah, I am. I am.
29.5 to 25. That's.
Yeah. I don't know. Look, they must know something we don't know. Yeah,
Oregon should win this game, but.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
If I was making a trip across a river to may or may not lay a particular bet.
Yep.
I'm betting on Illinois to cover.
Yeah,
I would. I don't know how you don't. And that's not a. That's, for a Duck fan, that's not a shot at the Ducks. I just think Illinois is a good program.
They're a top 20 team right now. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting.
Right?
It's a 12:30 kick, so it's not like a late kick for Illinois where they have to change their body clocks at all. I don't know. I have no idea what in the world that line is all about.
It feels like college lines have just been all
over
the place.
But I think Oregon is playing really well, and I think that's a big credit to what Oregon's defense was able to do over the last 2 weeks, whether that was the, you know, when it's nut-up time against Ohio State, they make some big stops in crucial situations without Jordan Birch. They go on the road without Jordan Birch again, and you are seeing inspired performances by some younger players who are coming up huge for Oregon right now. And, you know, whether it was Arbelaggio's very best player of the game, Tatum Tuioti, Mateo Uyunglele, Omarion Winston, these guys are playing good football right now. And I think that's where you may see the line, maybe a little bit of a sucker line there where people are just going to pile on Oregon because they just beat somebody 35-0 on the road.
Yeah.
But that performance by Oregon was impressive because it was a shutout. It was
three scores.
You just bam, bam, bam. You marched right on down the field. And then it kind of looked like they didn't play their best football in the second or third quarters.
Maybe
any stretch.
No, I think they got a little comfortable, which Lanning's not going to like.
No.
But also, I was a little bit surprised that you didn't see Gabriel get the hook. Not because of poor play, but just protect him.
I think first of all, you're in a situation where you don't want to roll Dante Moore out, right? So Austin Novosad is your quarterback. I think they wanted, and we saw the success that they had because they've done this on the defensive side of the ball. They did it against Michigan State, where Michigan State scored their 10 points, right? Their front seven stayed more or less the same. But in the back end,
they're working some guys in.
They put in the young guys against Michigan State. You saw the quarterback and the offensive line stayed the same. I think Kavika Rogers maybe got in at left guard. But outside of that, it was guys like Jeremiah McClellan, Jay Harris, you know, guys who we haven't seen yet this year. Make them more comfortable with a really good offensive line mm-hmm. and a quarterback that can get you in the right spots without a doubt, because Purdue didn't pull their starters. They had their starters in. Yeah. So you use those guys in. And look, at the end of that game, it was until they put Novosad in that the drive where Jay Harris scored and Jeremiah McClellan had a third down catch. You want to see those guys have success with mm-hmm. the front end talent. So I get it from that perspective. I wasn't the biggest, like, well, I wouldn't say I'm not a fan of it. I was probably every other Oregon fan watching the game where when Dylan Gabriel ran the ball in the third quarter, I was like, good, we don't need to do this.
Don't do that.
Right.
We were watching the game at Moda before the final preseason game, and a bunch of Duck fans are down there, and they got the 14 quick, and they were like, oh, yeah, no, let's get Dylan Gabriel out at halftime.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like it was going to be, one of those games.
Right.
And then it didn't go that way. And again, you're going more championship mentality, because if you're Dan Lanning, you're pissed off at around the edges. You're not mad at the overall performance of the game. You had your first road shutout in a decade, you know.
Yep.
You put up 35. Everybody gets out healthy. Like, you accomplished all of your goals mm-hmm. with the exception of maybe being able to pull some more starters sooner.
And I will say, with Vancouver Ford text line 503-864-6326, your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, after the sale. Visit them online, vancouverford.com. Did I miss something? Why don't you want to roll Dante Moore out there? Because Dante Moore still is eligible for a redshirt year.
Mm-hmm. Which means you can save him.
You have played him in two games so far this year.
He's got two more.
And so he's got two more in the regular season. Now, the NCAA lifted the rule where postseason no longer is mm-hmm. a counter. So he can only play in four regular season games and still have his redshirt. You don't want to use him in this game because he is your backup now to Dylan Gabriel. So, you know, you do the, God forbid, knock on wood, anything happens to Dylan Gabriel, you are burning the redshirt of Dante Moore, and you're going to play him at quarterback. So you don't want to roll him out there in garbage time of the Purdue game mm-hmm. if you can save as many games as you possibly can.
You might need him
with Dante Moore
for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, and then at the end of the year, if you want to roll him out and, you know, play him against whatever, whether it's, you know, Washington at the last game of the year mm-hmm. or you could go to the final two games, you want to put him in against Wisconsin and then play him at Washington, yes, go ahead and do that. But you want to minimize any of the games that you possibly can. Hold on to his redshirt. That's why you see Austin Novosad in the game late. You want to make sure that you hold him to under four, but he's played into one of them was a Michigan State game, because remember, the Michigan State game, he came in after Dylan Gabriel took that shot mm-hmm. and he got the wind knocked out of him. He came in for that one play, and that showed you, okay, if anything happens to Gabriel, we know who it is. It's going to be number five coming in. So that's why you want to save Dante Moore.
So there you go.
All right.
I come up and put a nice little bow on today's show with some more NFL news and notes, including the two-sided coin that is Russell Wilson's NFL ability. Coming up next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. Put a little bow on our NFL coverage coming out of the weekend. Russell Wilson started for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and by God, it was a travesty in that first half. He skipped three passes.
Yeah, it looked like they were ready to boo him off the field.
It was
horrendous. Yeah, yeah.
And then he threw a moonshot to George Pickens, a 50-50 ball, and then it all was right with the world.
That is where he is at his best. Run game, play action, let him uncork one. He does have a good arm. He has that innate ability for ball placement mm-hmm. on those play
balls.
Fakes yep. or the deep ball downfield. Like, that's where he's the most comfortable, and Arthur Smith made sure they got him comfortable in that game, and he looked okay after that first quarter. Also, we got to remember, I'm no Russell Wilson apologist, and I'm not a Russell Wilson fan.
Mm-hmm.
He has not played football in a long time.
Indeed.
It's been a year.
Yeah.
So him having a rough first quarter, that was to be expected, and I know that it got a lot of people very happy, and they got their jokes off, and more power to you, dude. Get those jokes off while you can. He played okay. I don't know how sustainable it will be. Mm-hmm. We'll find out and see where this Steelers team is. If I'm a Steelers fan, I'm not thrilled because this is the epitome of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Right now, they're atop the division.
Mm-hmm.
They're 5-2. Does anybody believe
that they're a competitor?
That
truly?
They are going to be an AFC title contender?
No.
But the reality of it is right now, they're not just atop the AFC North. They have the second best point differential in the entire AFC, only behind the Buffalo Bills. Like, they're good. It will be interesting to see what happens with Baltimore and what happens with the Cincinnati Bengals, because remember, the Bengals were left for dead, right? And at the beginning of the year, they were 1-4. They'd lost to New England out of the gate. Here they are, winners of three of their last four games. They've got the Eagles, Raiders, Ravens, Chargers, Steelers in the next ones. Like, you get two games, and then it really
very winnable
ramps up. Mm-hmm. But if they're sitting there at 5-4, heading into that stretch against Baltimore, L.A., the Steelers, are we ruling them out? Because the back half of their season is Cowboys, Titans, Browns, Broncos.
Win.
Like, the AFC North is going to be so damn fun. Mm-hmm. And then the last game of the regular season for both teams,
showdown.
Steelers hosting the Bengals. Mm-hmm. That could have a final playoff spot on the line.
I can see it.
I'm here for it. I'm glad Russ picked it up off the mat after that first quarter, mm-hmm. just because it makes football more interesting.
Sure.
Because this could crash into the side of the mountain. We may see Justin
Fields one-dimensional. They're 1.5 dimensions.
That's right.
There you go.
That's right.
Be remiss if we didn't also mention the Ravens and Bucks and the Chargers and Cardinals are your Monday night.
Don't call it a doubleheader.
Double duel.
There we go.
Double dip.
Double dip. Twin bill, whatever. Not a doubleheader.
When I dip, you dip, we dip.
I'm going to die on this hill.
You can only watch the... Is this right? You can only watch the Chargers, yeah. Cardinals on ESPN Plus.
I believe that is correct.
They're really trying.
They're going to get like CW ratings right there.
An official RIP sent out to all of Oregon.
Oh?
Sherry's Restaurant, you were a real one.
Damn.
The Oregon Lottery has confirmed that they are shutting down because the Oregon Lottery reaps all the benefits.
How
of
about
all
that?
Of those lottery sales?
Yeah, they were keeping Sherry's in business, that Oregon Lottery.
Sherry's is done?
Yeah, yep. Sherry's is done.
No more pies?
No.
No more chicken fried steak?
Man. Look, Sherry's was great. It was the only place open 24 hours where, like, after like high school football or basketball games, you could go. Drinking.
Or for us theater kids, you also. Know.
Yeah, for the theater kids to go, like, pick up on chicks and, you know, sit next to old people in the middle of the night.
And smoke cigarettes indoors.
That's right. Mm. I think that's really where business took a hit is when you couldn't smoke. And that imaginary line of smoking and non-smoking where you're in the non-smoking section, but you had large Marge ripping heaters right behind you. It's like, I don't know what made this the non-smoking section. All right, RIP, Sherry's. Up next, 4 hours of power. Their mouths, your ears. It's primetime with Isaac Souk. Have a great Monday, everybody. See you Tuesday, noon to 3.
Bye.
Red Rover, Red Rover, send Rust right over.